This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi everyone, Robbo here. You're listening to the Blues Focus Podcast. Keep right on.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Blues Focus Podcast. We're back again, another grand return, hopefully a bit more regular. John's not with us at the moment. Hopefully he'll be back on the podcast again soon, so you'll have to suffer with me as host today, unfortunately. But thank you for tuning in anyway, and we'll try and give you a good show as always. And let's say hello to who we got with us today. And as always, we've got Carl. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, you?
Good. Yeah, not too bad. Just buzzing Blues won the other day. It's definitely made the weekend more enjoyable. And an interesting one, especially if you followed any other content I've done, you might recognise the lad. Has been on the channel before, but not the podcast, and that's Brandon, Derby fan. So should be an interesting contrast to the podcast, but he has watched our last two games. So he'll have a bit to say. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Hopefully I'll become a popular figure, but you never know. I'm a Derby fan, so...
we'll soon find out.
It could go one or two ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah,
people might appreciate a different view, so that's why I've gone with it. So we'll see how it goes anyway. But thanks for joining me, lads, and let's crack straight on into things. Let's probably quickly cover Hull and Coventry. We might have missed more games than that, but I'm going to start from there. Carl, I'll start with you. Just your general thoughts on that Hull game, and obviously the first goal is probably the biggest talking point.
Well, where'd you start with that? First of all, I mean, I think the biggest thing we've got to remember about the games we've played and the games coming up, we've still got a load of players out. And that's been very evident by the Hull and the Coventry games, you know, the performances, I think. And as for that first goal, well, yeah. I mean, how on earth a referee cannot see that has gone out of play with all the players that have stopped as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, Hunnaman didn't try to finish that. It wasn't a great finish, was it? It was more of a kind of hit him and rolled in kind of thing. But how they've got to do something about this, because there was another one, actually, I think it was Coventry, where the linesman wasn't up with play and it had gone out again over the byline. So you're relying on these people to spot things like that. And it might seem trivial, it might seem nitpicky, but that could cost the club relegation or promotion. It could be the difference between staying in business and going out. And it's not acceptable. I don't think a Sunday league team would be would be happy conceding a goal like that, let alone a team in probably one of the hardest divisions in the country. So, yeah, just livid, absolutely livid. And you know, when Sky and all other broadcasters are agreeing that it was a ridiculous decision, that something was wrong with it.
Definitely. I think literally everybody except the two officials that were watching it, even everyone in the stadium knew that it just shouldn't have counted. I mean, it was right in front of me where I was sat, so I wasn't a happy bunny myself. I just feel like it's one of the... If you haven't seen it, I feel like as an official, although you probably shouldn't rely on this, but I feel like it definitely gives you a clear indication. And that's the body language of the other players, including the Hull players. I think everyone thought it had gone out and they just sort of left it. But yeah, there was clearly a lot of surprise when it was led to allow, unfortunately. And then obviously you get the classic, oh, should there be VAR in the Championship? But we've seen VAR fail in the Premier League. So I'm sure it'll fail just as much down here. It's probably been a bit better this season, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you touched on there, you expect officials to do their job properly because it can cost clubs a lot, unfortunately. And Hull are one of the teams that are down there, as Brandon will know. And you sort of need those sort of results to go against Hull if you're one of those other fine teams. And to see goals like that count, you'd be fuming. Because it can cost clubs. And it's like, you know, Bournemouth got relegated when the Hawkeye wasn't working at Villa Park. I'm still bitter about that to this day, but hey ho. anyway, Brandon, I'm assuming you've seen the that ghost goal from Hull. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, obviously not happy myself, given that Hull are one of the teams that we're chasing at the minute. Well, chasing at probably about a mile away, but yeah, obviously not happy about the goal, but it's just human error, and the only way you're going to solve that is by something like VAR. But I'm one of those people that aren't a fan of VAR, so I think it just ruins kind of the emotion of the game, to be honest. I've changed. I've gone back and forth, to be fair, but yeah, so it's just human error. It's just about ironing out human error, and I don't know how to do it. It's just got to be something that the governing bodies of football at this level have got to come up with. It's got to come up with a way to sort it, whether that be just improving the level of referees. Well, we already know that they need to improve the level of referees, but I don't know, something I guess does have to be done, because it's just human error.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me personally, what frustrates me is I don't feel like the fourth officials are involved enough in football. I feel like their jobs are very limited, and you can sort of question, what do you actually do? so sometimes that's just how it feels. So, I wish they'd have more of a say, because I remember back in like 2015 when Blues won a penalty at the last minute, but about 6 minutes of were wasted because no one could tell whether Britta Sombalonga had handballed it and denied us an open goal. But then they went to the fourth official and the fourth official confirmed it and we got the penalty. I don't feel like you see enough of that in football, that extra opinion. And if you've got a fourth official there, why not use it? Is it sort of an arrogance thing to just be like, oh, I'll stick with my decision, I'm sort of strong by that? But if you're not certain on something or something seems off, just ask for a second opinion. So there's nothing wrong with it. And I mean, he didn't even go over to the lino to ask, like, you know, or you just chat about it. It just didn't really make sense. But then obviously the lino wouldn't have had the right opinion because he didn't put his flag up anyway. But hey ho, it be what it be. So the Cov game, pretty dull, nil-nil, but Blues were particularly dire. I think, again, that comes down to injuries, mainly, like you said, Carl. We were still struggling in that game, but there were some standouts. And we're the first team to actually get a clean sheet at the Rico this season. So that's obviously a great stat to have. We definitely battled, but there was a few penalty shouts here and there. I'll go to you first, Brandon. What were your thoughts on the sort of overall performance?
Yeah, it was just a bit drab, wasn't it? Like, I was obviously watching it on telly. I did fall asleep on 60 minutes-ish, I can't lie. But
it says it all.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I'll kind of touch on it more later on. But with the injuries that kind of you're suffering with at the minute, it's hard to kind of... Obviously, there's a drop-off in form, we know that. But it's with the players you're missing out on. Even with these players coming back, it doesn't always guarantee that all of a sudden the form's going to pick up again. You know, I've experienced this years ago when in 2014-15, when we were spent the whole season in the top six, like one of the longest amount of times in the top two and everything, and Chris Martin got injured. And we suffered with goals scored for ages. But when he come back, we still had the same problems and we ended up dropping out of the top six on the last day of the season. So, yes, worry about the injuries, but I also want to stress that even when they come back, it's not going to, the bad form might not necessarily go away, or the performances. So just keep that in mind. So there's more work. So you can say, yeah, injuries are obviously a problem, but there is stuff that still needs, that can be sorted with the players that are on the pitch at the minute. I think that's just something that needs to be stressed. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with getting a point away at Coventry and a clean sheet, to be fair. We couldn't even manage it, so.
Ah, yes, of course. If the mighty Derby County couldn't manage it, then no one can. to be fair, though, you are in the small group of three teams that have picked up points from there this season, including us.
We actually first ended their 100% record, so.
Oh, well, there you go. There you are. Big stat. I agree with you there, and I think we'll touch a bit more on that later, the whole injury stuff. But I'll go to you now, Carl. What are your general thoughts on the Coventry game and also those penalty shouts?
It was just dire, I think. And I think it's a record of Blues throughout. We're very pedestrian when we've got the ball. I think we've said it before. You know, other teams look to get the ball and play it out straight away. Certainly from my perspective, I think we tend to just hold up play a little bit more. And I think it was actually the Cov game. It really sort of stood out. I think there were three or four times they tried to launch quickly. And we just seem to just take forever with it. Whether or not that is a tactic that Bowyer is employing, I don't know. I think I totally agree with what Brandon was saying as well about the injuries. But I think the problem is that the players that we've got coming in, some of them are doing all right, but they're not at the level that we've got in that, who would be on that first team sheet. You know, and I think that was very evident. You know, Marcel Opie, I get he's young and learning his trade, but he obviously isn't quite there yet. I don't know, we've had to play him out of necessity, maybe then because we want to. But there are a few times he struggled, I think. As for the penalties, how Sanderson actually didn't get sent off in that game, I'm not sure.
He was a lucky boy.
He probably should have gone. It was a Stonewall penalty. Riley's, you've seen them given. You've also seen them not given. I wasn't surprised we didn't get it, put it that way. I mean, if the ref didn't give the one for what Dion did, where he basically did what Chiellini did to Saka in the Euros, didn't he? Really, that's effectively what he did. And then, obviously, the only other real contentious decision is the red card 8 minutes from time.
I was going to come on to that.
Yeah. I think we were lucky not to have one against us, and I think the other one was very 50-50. It just depends which ref you get on the day, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I was surprised that, I think a lot of people were obviously surprised that it wasn't turned over, because you do see those sort of fouls, those tactical fouls all the time. I could see where some people are coming from when you say it's dangerous, in a sense, when you look at some of the angles, you know, he could have clipped him, but that doesn't mean he did clip him. But he doesn't. So in that sort of sense, he doesn't get him with his studs. He just does the actual foul he intended to do. So I feel like the claim of no control didn't really make sense from the referee. But I can see both sides. But for me personally, it's a yellow card. However, like you say, you know, we probably could have had a red card for Sanderson. And if you're asking me which player would I rather got a red card at the moment, Ryan Woods or Deion Sanderson, I am going to say Ryan Woods all day long. I'll come to you now, Brandon. I know you definitely thought that Sanderson was lucky to stay on and it was probably a penalty for them, but they didn't get it. But do you think Ryan Woods should have been sent off, yes or no?
I don't know. I'm on the fence. It's the only reason I can see that the referees gave it is because, like you were saying, out of control. I think it with those fouls, the tactical fouls, a lot of the time you just see it's a trip, whereas you see Woods actually goes out off his feet. That's the only thing I can apply to it from a referee's perspective. I'm on the fence a little bit. Most of the time you see that as a yellow card. Even if he has gone off both feet, it's probably still a yellow card. But like Carl said, it depends what referee you get on the day. So Well, for me, I'd be on the fence. I would probably have get a yellow card, to be honest, but the referee's obviously seen it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's one of those things as well that if you're a Cov fan, you want a red card. If you're a Blues fan, no way. Mm. And it'd be the same wherever. I think the biggest issue is for us, Brandon, you've probably got it at Derby. I know the Blackpool fans felt it looking through their Twitter stuff yesterday. There's just no consistency in the refereeing. Exactly the issue. I can't remember if it was Sheffield United or a game just after that when Chong went through and got chopped out from behind, and the guy was, I can't remember if he even got booked, but I think we got a free kick out of it, nothing. And it's just, I get that football's subjective and it's one of the things we love about the sport, but the referees, it can't be subjective. It's either all one or all the other. And it needs, in my mind, I think the officiating literally has to be, it doesn't matter what it is, it's this punishment regardless. You know, if it had dived in at knee height, fair enough, I get that. But yeah, it's just the consistency, I think, in the decision-making is just shocking. And I knew the minute the referee ran the way he did, he was going to send him off. He had every intention. He didn't even think about it.
Nope.
You know, and the fact that Sunjic was there and there were players covered meant nothing.
Sunjic was having a bit of a stinker, to be honest, as well. But
and he'd have probably got himself sent off. He'd have probably gone past him and pulled him down, and he'd have gone instead. But you know, there just has to be a consistency here because we were never going to win that game. I think we're honest enough to say that we were definitely playing for a point, I think, certainly by that point in the game. But, you know, it could cost, you know, teams points. And obviously in the position that Derby are, sorry to bring it up, Brandon, like every point matters. And that's the same for every team across the board, you know, and it could literally mean the difference again between promotion, relegation, going out of business, things like that. It's just got to be consistent. You can't, things like that, it's just ridiculous. There's too much money, too much riding on it for us to get a lovely little apology letter from Alan or whatever his name is, as Boya keeps quoting him.
Hi, Blue fans, Marlon King here. You're listening to the Blues Focus podcast. Keep right on.
But yeah, no, I completely agree. I feel like, for me, it's sort of like if you need consistency, but you also need clarity. And that's what we lack in officiating in the EFL. And it just does feel like sometimes it's one rule for one and one rule for another. But I mean, that's a whole debate in itself. Anyway, more positive chat is yesterday's game, the Blackpool victory that we desperately needed, that's for sure. Obviously, solid win against a good Blackpool side, 1-0 win in the end. And I'd say we were probably quite lucky considering how bad we were in the first half. But no, I'm very, very happy that we've managed to pull 3 points from that. I'll start with you, Carl. What was your thoughts on the first half yesterday?
Are there any thoughts to be had on the first half yesterday? Other than being convinced that Bella had actually scored in the opening 30 seconds, which was very similar to Raheem Sterling against Italy years ago in the World
Cup. Yeah, I remember that in the World Cup. It would have been a worldie.
I was convinced that was in. Really, other than that, I think maybe Pedersen's deflected header. Outside of that, there wasn't really a lot of... Certainly from our perspective, we were just very slow again. We just didn't seem to want to kind of get after it. And I think one thing that's been missing, and again, this could be injury related or not, the press seems to have gone from the game. Now, not to rag on Derby again, Brandon, but going back to the Derby game, our two goals were effectively the high press in action, certainly the first goal. And I think that when we press, we're one of the best pressers in the league, but that seems to have gone out of the game a little bit. And it used to be one goes, we all go. And at the moment, Hogan or Deeney will go and the other one will kind of trot along, but the wing-backs aren't up. And there was just none of that urgency in the first half. We didn't concede. You know, I think it's really good that we had Ped back. I mean, Ped, Robbo and Sanderson were immense yesterday, I thought. You know, I don't think you'd really pick between the three of them. Robbo looks such a better defender without Harley alongside him. And when he's in that centre position, that's not ragging on Harley, it's just fact, I think. And I think the fact that you got those three plus with Friend when he comes back, I think that's going to make the world of difference. And I think as long as they are fitting on their game, we're pretty solid. Bella and Graham were fairly ineffective in the first half. I you know, Graham's deliveries yesterday were fairly shocking, I thought. Especially, I think, the first corner where it just didn't do anything. But yeah, it was just boring. There wasn't really any quality on display from either side, I think. And I think we were just, I think everybody was grateful to get to half time. Only to the fact there wasn't anything to drink anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, obviously, it wasn't the prettiest of performances that first half, from what I saw anyway. I was a bit too drunk to notice at times, but first half we were quite dire, having gone back and watched more of it as well. But that Bella chance was certainly interesting. There were so many cheers, like it had already gone in. I think Blackpool, you've got to also appreciate that they are having a good season. Compared to what people expected of them, I think I predicted them like bottom of the championship, to be honest, or at least in the bottom three somewhere. So they're definitely surprising a lot of people, and they were a solid outfit. You know, I was fairly impressed with what I saw of them, but they're just sort of working with what they've got and playing to players' strengths, and that is so clear to see, and that is a way to win football matches. We all know it, because if you play to players' strengths, then you'll get the best out of them. It really is that simple. So, obviously the first half wasn't pretty for Blues, but it certainly wasn't surprising, since Blackpool are a solid side, that's for sure. Brandon, what were your thoughts on the first half?
Kind of echoing what Carl said, really. The press was something that I noticed as well. I think going back to the game against Derby, one of the big factors, I think, was Chong in there. I think Chong seems like a really good presser as well, because I remember he dispossessed who would have been holding, probably Shinny or Bird or something. He dispossessed him a number of times. They really struggled with that. And yeah, the intensity from the press didn't seem to be there as well. It seemed really easy for Blackpool to play out at times. And I don't think they're an incredible playing outside. So it's clear to show it wasn't clearly flowing right. But yeah, other than the two kind of the chances that you mentioned with Bella and Pedersen, not really much going on in the first half from Blackpool either, I don't think. I think as a Derby fan looking at Blackpool, I was actually licking my lips a bit, to be honest. I didn't think they were that impressive. But they're in a decent place in the table. It's still early. But that's all there really is to report on the first half. There wasn't much cracking up until the second anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Completely echo that. So we'll go into the second half then. Obviously, there's a few things to chat about in the second half. Blues definitely improved, but there was also a change of shape. We changed to a diamond, and that seemed to really, really help us get into the game and sort of get that final push, and the substitution as well, bringing on a Nike. It's about time we saw a bit of a shift from. I don't think we've seen much from a Nike since probably the Luton game, or maybe Peterborough, because he did come on and he was actually fairly decent despite losing 3-0 to Peterborough. As my connection gone? Oh, there we go. We're back. We're back. I was just going to say that, Anike, I haven't really seen much from him since Luton and Peterborough. Even Peterborough, despite losing 3-0 to them, I thought he was good when he came on, and we actually had some chances in that game. But since then, we've seen absolutely nothing of him, really. Now he came on and he made a real difference in that second half, particularly when we changed the shape. So I'll go to you first, Brandon. What were your thoughts on Blues in the second half and Dukie's winner?
Yeah, it was much better. I think it was a bit fortunate, wasn't it, the goal? It seemed to just kind of hit him more than anything. But was it like Hogan that headed it across or something?
It was John James.
Was it? Oh, right, yeah. There you go. It was much better in the second half. A little bit more open. I guess you were kind of going for it a bit more. You were the home team, obviously. The change of shape obviously helped you. I forgot to mention, I thought Graham was actually pretty poor in general in the game, to be honest. I thought he was going to be right. I actually said at the game it's because he shaved his hair off. Much improved. Sundish as well, I thought, was actually really good. Fortunate, but you got the 3 points, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely wasn't the prettiest performance from either side, but got the job done in the end. Carl, what was your thoughts on the second half?
yeah, we can't, again, you know, it wasn't pretty. I think the change into the diamond really worked. I think Bowie said he was good. He changed his mind at 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon about playing the diamond against Kolf, which was interesting, actually. You know, they've been working on it in training, and it seems like ragging on Derby again. But when we beat them at the end of last season, that's what he did in the second half.
You're having too much fun with this.
Yeah, it's not often we get to pick on another team that often on this pod, so we're going to do it.
Nah, it's fine.
But you know, we changed the shape and it worked. And you, I know that people have similar feelings towards Anike as they did with Leko, but you know what? I think he put in a real shift yesterday. Sinjic at the base, the diamond was fantastic. And again, I think I mean McGree. I mean, what a loss he's going to be. You know, there goes the headphone. It makes me really, really gutted that he's going off to the shores of Charlotte in what is it, January? I think January 1st.
Yeah, he's leaving Stepping Stone FC to basically go down the stones.
Yeah, exactly that. And I mean, listening to his post-match comments, I'm not sure he's too thrilled about going, to be honest. He seems to really bought into the club, seems to be loving it, you know. But I think, you know, Duke did what he was brought on to do. He scored a goal. It was incredibly fortuitous. Was onside before anyone throws up and bitches about it.
It
has been proven. I mean, if EFL Quest agree with Blues, you know that he was definitely onside.
Surely.
Yeah, but no, it was just... And the defence, I mean, I mentioned him in the first half, but Pedersen was like a beast in that second half. He was phenomenal. He was everywhere across that back line. Should they have had a penalty? I'm going to say no. Even though I've seen the replay 20 times and stuff, I'll still maintain Sinjic got someone on the ball. He didn't, but we'll say that he did.
When you watch it, though, it does look like he gets something on the ball.
Real time, but watching it in slow motion, he absolutely didn't. I think it's another one where you've seen them given, and it comes back to the consistency, so we won't complain about that this time. Ref was spot on, nothing wrong with it.
Well, I mean, you know, they could have given our goal as offside. We've seen worse.
Precisely.
Just that bit of luck we needed for weeks.
Yeah, exactly that. But they just seemed to step it up. It felt like they got a bit of a rollicking at halftime. And yeah, I think they really went for it. And Jordan James was, you know, phenomenal. For his first full 90 minutes in a senior game, he was great. He's absolutely fantastic. And if this is just the start, I can't wait to see what the future holds for him. You know, we're very lucky. We've got quite a few talented youngsters coming through, but he seems to be at the forefront.
Yeah, definitely. Very excited to see more from Jordan James. He's definitely a favourite under Boya. I think what I'll be interested to see is whether he keeps his place, if the main midfielders come back. I actually think he should keep his place over Gardner. I think Gardner doesn't deserve his place back at the moment, after his recent actions, you know, the headbutt, and obviously he got a red card before that at Peterborough. There's clearly a discipline issue there, and to be honest, he hasn't actually offered much quality on the pitch either. Jordan James, definitely, there's no reason why he couldn't keep that spot, but it depends who we bring in January as well. I think we need a busy window in January, that's for sure. But no, it's exciting times. Hopefully we can go on a run of games now, just a little unbeaten run, maintain that sort of mid-table place we're at the moment. Maybe a late push for the playoffs is hoping, with a few good signings. Who knows? You never know. But we'll
not far off, though, are you, actually, now after that?
No, we're not. I mean, we win our next game. We can go to eighth. Yeah, 6 points. There you go. It's more than possible. We've seen bigger runs, unfortunately, from Villa. But hey-ho. But just very excited for the next game. Obviously, a good break now for the players before Millwall away. So let's get into your score predictions, lads. Carl, what are you predicting for Millwall away?
It's always I guess every championship game is a tough game. Anyone can beat anyone. We've seen that. I think it'll be a draw. We always seem to draw with Millwall at their place, I think. It's going to be a tough game. Obviously, Rowett's there. It'd be weird seeing Kift play against us. I'm not sure I'm okay and ready for that still, and he's been gone nearly a year. I think it'll be tight. I think I'd go 1-1. I think it's going to be a game of kind of attrition. You know, I think both sides try to be fairly solid at the back. and aren't exactly the most, you know, flowing, beautiful playing football going forward. So, yeah, I think we'll go 1-1. I think it's probably a game that Dean is probably going to knock one in, I reckon.
Hopefully.
It's that kind of game.
Hopefully.
And then wind up all the Millwall fans.
Yeah, he probably would. I could see him doing it, to be honest. And then, obviously, yeah. Your favourite segment of the podcast. Who is your pick this week for the Millwall game? Who do you want to see?
I want to see Jordan keep his place. Jordan James keep his place in the middle of the park. I think he's more than earned it. I mean, I think it's also out of necessity, probably, than anything else. But, you know, I mean, I think he deserves to go again. It will be a tougher game, I think, physically against Millwall. But I think he deserves it, you know, that he showed. I know he isn't Jude. Obviously, Jude Bellingham is a generational player. We all understand this. But there were a lot of similarities there in the way that he tried to play the ball. He was always looking ahead, wanting to get it forward rather than go back. And I think he's more than merited his place. So yeah, I'd go with him, I think.
Good pick. Oh, I definitely back you on that one. I think I just completely agree with you in general, to be honest. I'm actually going to go 1-0 Blues. Because Millwall have an even longer injury list than us, and they're not in particularly great form, and they've not got a great home record this season either. But they're not having a bad season by any means, that's for sure, so it won't be easy. But I am going to go 1-0 Blues. And you know what? I'm going to go Jordan James to get the winner. I fancy it. I do fancy it. I think he's got a goal coming at some point, that's for sure. So, Brandon, just before we wrap things up, I'll go over to you for a quick score prediction for the Millwall away game for Blues.
I can only really go off personal experience against Millwall. We drew 1-1 there, but it was we went down to 10 men, and before that we were pretty dominant, so it's a hard one to judge. It's the Jed Wallace FC, really, to be honest. So as long as you kind of play as a bit of a team, you and anything like that, you'll be fine. I'm gonna go, it'll be close, you know, though. I'll say 1-0 Blues, Mason Bennett own goal.
Love that. Mason Bennett own goal. Nice touch. Well, thanks as always, lads, for joining. Thank you, Carl, as always, being the regular that you are.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Exactly. Always a pleasure chatting to you. And then, Brandon, thank you for filling in for John. And if you'd enjoyed Brandon's opinion, he fairly keeps up with Blues and obviously is a watcher of the podcast. So if you want him back, just let us know in the comments. We'll find a special segment for Brandon as well. Or Carl can have a new segment of what comment can he bash Derby with next? or we'll have a...
I've not even got any legs to stand on, though, have I? So I've just got to sit here and take it.
We'll have a Derby bash counter in the corner of the screen. I could certainly add
a video on roasting Derby, or I'll just sit there and take it.
Yeah, literally.
That would bang.
I roast Derby most weeks on this podcast, as people will probably know anyway. But but yeah, no, thanks a lot, lads, and thank you obviously to all the listeners out there that tune in with us regularly. It's a pleasure to have you. And just keep supporting, keep following the podcast, share, like, all that jazz. And we'll see you in the next one, hopefully shortly. See ya. Keep right on.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go. Your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.